Natter. I'm Mark Steele, and across the table from me is
Jenny Steele,
and we are joining you on the week that Mary Poppins has become a PG film.
Oh yeah.
Yes, and I could rant about all the woke snowflakes that are ruining a classic, but to be honest, Dick Van Dyke's Cockney accent did more damage.
Can I say, call blimey Mary Poppins?
Call blimey Mary Poppins. Well, to be fair, even our attempts are, well, they're just as bad, aren't they, if we're completely honest. Although, on a more positive note, the postbag arrived, and last week we asked what two normal words, they're pure, innocent, clean words, two simple little words, but you bring them together, and it puts the fear in you. A couple of you be in touch, haven't you?
Yeah, Louise Mallinson, I agree with this one. Gas bill.
I don't think I've ever not feared my gas bill. I once had a problem where the gas company had been doing, what was it called, estimated billing, where they just make it up and they assume that you're using a certain amount of gas. And then I got in touch with a real gas meter reading that was lower than what they estimated.
Oh.
So rather than giving me a lower bill, what they did is they assumed that I managed to go round the clock and I'm sitting there with like a £50,000 bill. They did cancel it, thankfully, but I was never going to pay that amount of money. Also in touch, Chris Curley. Two terrifying words for me are please hold.
Mm.
Yeah, we all know that. You've been on the phone. You just want to get something sorted. You're not messing around. You just want to get something sorted. And Chris is saying, what makes it even worse is being assured after that that your call is important to them. Kind of guilting me to hold on forever and ever. Your call is never important. And it's always due to COVID nowadays. It's always due to COVID. They can't get enough people on the phone. That's absolute horseplop. And they know it. But again, away from it, because they know, well, if we just mention COVID, we can employ a few less people. It's a bit cheaper.
Yeah, people's calls are important to us, though.
Yeah, of course. If you want to ring, it's very important.
Yeah, yeah. Kate Harding. Oh, another bill. Electric bill.
Electric Avenue. I get Electric Avenue stuck in my head. And there is an Electric Avenue in Nottingham, but it's not as exciting as Electric Avenue in the song, is it? Juliana Glanfield. Ooh, two normal words. Forest destroyed.
Oh.
I suppose you could be talking about two things there. You could be talking about football.
Yeah.
Which is our very, very cheesy local quote there. Or you could be talking about an actual forest getting destroyed. But looking at this word, forest is quite a normal word. It's the sort of thing you mention from time to time. It's the sort of place you may even go from time to time. Destroyed is going to put the fear in you with just one word.
Mm.
But I can see you bring the two of them together, it amplifies it a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, Jane Barrett, flood warning.
To be fair, the word flood and the word warning are both quite scary.
Mm.
So bringing together, you're getting double the scariness. Sandra Owen saying, your rounds.
I like that.
I don't have a fear of it being my round. I have a fear of it not being my round. You know, when everyone else has bought drinks.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, it's time to go home. And you're sitting there going, I've not had my round yet. So you're like, do I owe for next time? What was the etiquette there?
What's the etiquette there?
Yeah, yeah.
And then Suzanne Zappa saying two words, I'm fine, when really people don't mean that.
It depends how you say it. You know, let's imagine you're a bit clumsy like me, dear listener. You're walking down a perfectly smooth, level street. I know this doesn't exist in the UK, but a perfectly smooth, level street. You're just walking along and then you trip up over nothing. And you go rolling over, and somebody goes, are you all right? And you say, yeah, I'm fine. That means you're genuinely fine. if you're getting into an argument, and somebody gets a huff, and you ask them, and they come back with, I'm fine, it's a very different kind of I'm fine, isn't it? It all depends on the tone, it all depends on the situation. And finally, Sam Killip, the only one that I can think of that comes to mind is team and work. Teamwork. This is one of the most challenging things, getting a group of people who's fought this line and work harmoniously together to improve the prospects of an organisation. I'm guessing you've just been on a management course, the way that that's worded. Or you've been sent on a course by your manager.
Yeah.
it's got a very corporate feel around it, but I know exactly what you're on about, Sam. It was the Brit Awards last night.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, I forgot to watch it as well, dear listener. I haven't watched the show since, I was about to say something like Spice Girls or something, but I didn't even watch it in those days.
Nah.
I have not. I always see the clips on the news the day after. Never see the award show itself.
Nah.
It's kind of funny like that. But I had a quick look down the list of winners and only recognised one or two of them.
Oh.
And apparently some woman called Ray did quite well out of it.
Ray.
Ray. Weren't the Hoosiers worried about them a little while back?
They were, yeah.
Actually, I looked that up as well. That's 17 years ago, that one. And we're not here to realise that we're getting older, dear son. We're not here to realise and dunk on the awards either. But when you see musical talent, maybe you're a bit like me, and you're wishing that you could do it as well.
Yeah.
If you're anything like me, you're sitting there, you're watching something like the Brits or the Mobos or whatever, and you're going, yeah, I wish I had that level of talent. I wish I was that good at
music. I could be an actress, me. I could. I know I could.
Well, my musical talent ends at doing George of the Jungle and trombone when I was at high school, or a creepy-sounding green sleeves. Do you know why it's creepy-sounding?
No, because you can't play it.
It's because I can't keep the tempo. So it's like, do, 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 do.
Yeah, it does sound creepy, that. Yeah. I'm good on my recorder, London's Burning, that's all I can play.
Well, at least we could get an ice cream van between us, if nothing else. So it's got me wondering, right? If you could suddenly wake up an expert in a brand new skill, didn't have to practice at all, just suddenly wake up one day, you are a bona fide expert, what would you want to be that expert in?
I think for me, being able to cook a poached egg to perfection.
So not being a culinary expert, just specifically in poached eggs.
Yeah.
You don't care about the rest of being able to make fantastic, beautiful meals.
No, because nobody can do a poached egg hardly, can they? So I could do like poached eggs or us and have my own stall somewhere.
You're going to start a takeaway built around poached eggs. Yeah. I mean, I've seen people start takeaways and stalls around things like baked potatoes, but it's got a range of fillings in it.
Yeah.
If your entire options are poached egg.
You can have a poached egg on a cob, poached egg on toast, poached egg in a poached egg. I don't
know. You're running out of options. See, it would be a menu of like two or three options. Yeah. Personally, there's the music element we talked about. I quite like to wake up suddenly an expert in playing some sort of instrument. Maybe an expert in languages, you know. I'm learning French and Ukrainian at the moment. Ukrainian mainly because it's been on my to-visit list and I've got some colleagues there, and yeah, I won't be going anytime soon, but it's that nice entry to the Slavic world and all that. I've been learning French since school, badly. So it'd be nice to get to a point where I could actually use them and don't get a native staring at me going, what did you say?
Yeah.
In the appropriate language, of course. I'm not going to say it in English. Unless they're really good at English, they're just like, you know what, let's kill this before you butcher it too badly. Or the other one is just seeing things through to the end. It'd be fantastic if I was an expert and be able to do that. I have got so many unfinished projects at home, it is unreal.
Yeah, I vouch for that.
I'm always starting something else. So, going to open this up to you, dear listener. If you woke up tomorrow, didn't have to put a single iota of practice or performance or skill into something, and you could wake up with an expert in a brand new skill, what skill would you pick? We're asking a fun little question that if you woke up and you were magically an expert overnight in a new skill, what would you want it to be? A couple of you have been in touch.
Yeah, Cheryl Warner says she'd like to be able to play the drums.
The drums? I guess you could do Phil Collins impressions then, couldn't
you? Oh,
yeah. Does that mean that if you were good enough, you could then become the leader of Genesis?
No, it means you could eat a bar of Cadbury's Dairy Milk.
It means you could eat a bar of Cadbury's Dairy Milk. Bear that in mind. It's not a bad skill, especially if you get round the practice bit, because all instruments, when you're learning them, will hack your neighbours off. It's not a if or might. It will hack your neighbours off at some point, because even the people that live in the house with you and want you to do well with a musical instrument can only put up with scales for so long. Drums are a whole nother level.
Especially if you include the cymbals as well.
Which kind of cymbals? Well, there are many kinds of cymbals.
Oh, no. I don't know.
Even drums are horribly complicated, because it could be a classic drum set, or you could be talking about kettle drums or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Like you have at the start of Viva La Vida by Coldplay.
I'd like to learn them. They sound great.
Yeah, I don't think your neighbours would approve. We're asking a fun little question about... I've forgotten what the question was for a second there. If you woke up tomorrow as an expert in a brand new skill, what would you want it to be?
Yours is a memory.
Yes. My memory... It's not that I'm getting older and, you know, I need to do all the dementia tests and things like that. My memory has been shocking from day one. So I'm going to get to that point where you get a bit older in life and you step into a room and you go, why am I in this room?
Yeah.
And I was sitting there going, Well, I'm asking that question because I'm sure I asked that question a couple of years ago. But Vicky Fairweather's also been in touch from Kings Lynn in West Norfolk,
ooh,
which makes me want to sing Go West, but we're going east.
We're going east.
Hi, Mark and Jerry. If I could choose any skill, I'd like to be able to skate both roller rink and ice skating.
I was just about to ask which type of skating.
Have you done either of them?
I've done ice skating, but not roller skating.
I've done a bit of both, and I'm rubbish at both. I can go forwards, I can't really stop, and I definitely not figured out backwards. Never mind anything fancy, never mind any tricks or anything like that. Several years ago, so talking about Vicky here, several years ago, I spent a whole year trying to learn to ice skate and could still hardly stand up. It looks such fun once you get the hang of it.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it looks fantastic fun, but it's the sort of thing where if you're going to do it, you've got to do it in clothes that are fairly well padded.
Yeah.
Because it's not if you will fall over, it's when you will fall over and how much you will fall over. So I'm sure, Vicky, if there is an ice skating rink near you, you'll be able to practice and practice and practice until you can knock out the Bolero without even thinking about it.
Take one of them little peg wings out that the kids use.
Oh, yeah. They're almost like the Zimmer frames to keep you upright. I'm not sure that's properly learning at that point, but it's worth giving it a shot. I was in a shop the other day, dear listener.
Surprise of the century,
but it does happen. And I was just stood there in complete and utter shock. Oh my God, what am I looking at?
Was I there?
You were there.
Oh, right.
But you didn't notice, you just carried on doing the next aisle. I was standing there in shock at how many air fryers can we possibly need? It was just aisles and aisles of slightly different air fryers.
But they all fry the same.
I'm sure they all work the same, and they're all very cool and all, but they're a use it twice and then sit in the cupboard thing air fryers, aren't they?
Yeah, I've got loads of stuff like that.
And it's got me wondering, that cupboard that you put these things into, what else is in there? So if you think about the kitchen, there's got to be things like toasty makers.
That's the one.
Soup makers.
Coffee maker.
George Foreman. Actually, on the toasty makers, they are incredibly painful to clean.
They are, actually,
So you use them once.
Yeah.
You make delicious toasties with whatever toppings you like. I mean, one that worked, I used to do quite a lot was cheese, ham and tomato ketchup.
Mm, I like the beans, cheese and beans.
You've basically made a pizza at that point. It's like it's like a calzone. It's what you're producing here. But it's so fiddly to get into all the little gaps. Because it makes some beautiful triangle shapes, but just getting into the gaps to clean, it's just pain in the back.
While it's hot, it's easy to take out. So I used to have to chance me not getting my fingers burned and try and quick nip in with a bit of kitchen towel while it was still scalding hot, trying to get all the bean juice out.
Bean juice!
Yeah, the cheese.
And so you had leaky bean juice every day. Why are they also awkward to clean? VR goggles?
Yeah.
There's a reason I bring this one up. Yes. I got Jenny some VR goggles for Christmas thing, and that'll be a nice fancy present. That'll be the one thing I'll get her, a big fancy present. Yeah, because they do fitness exercise thing, and she's like, "Oh, I want to do a fitness exercise."
Yes,
but the weather outside's rubbish, so I could do it at home on the VR goggles.
Yeah,
never used them.
I keep forgetting we did one when we was like mapping all the space out, didn't we?
Yes.
And then we put them in the drawer ready for next time, and they've never been took out the drawer, have they?
I'm glad I didn't pay £3,000 for the Apple ones. That's all I'm saying on that one. Or back in the kitchen, also in these aisles, I saw that they now make pie and sausage roll makers.
Do they?
Yeah.
Mmm.
Isn't a pie just meat with, you know, in wet stuff inside pastry?
Yeah.
So why do you need a maker for it?
I don't know. Well, how does it do? Does it just cook it for you instead?
It's literally what just a pie. It's like a toasty maker in the shape of a pie. So you still have to put the pie together. You still have to put the pastry in.
Yeah.
And then all it's doing is cooking it in a bit.
That's a bit pointless.
But that's kind of the easy bit of making a pie, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, just thinking off the back of it, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody has to be making an absolute mint out of this stuff, haven't they?
Yeah.
Somebody's got to be completely loaded from making these things. You only use once and they sit in the cupboard. So, if you come up with an idea, dear listener, for one of these things, where will you use them once? And then they will sit in a cupboard and end up in a landfill. Then, let us know and we'll split the idea 80-20. 80% of us, for us, of course, for coming up with the scheme in the first place. 20% for you, because we've got to be fair, because you did come up with the invention as well.
Mm.
That sounds quite fair to us, doesn't it?
It does.
I bet it sounds fair to you as well. Jenny, has been on the internet and spotted something, haven't you?
I have, yeah. I was just looking on the faces, the Facebook.
All right.
And somebody's put a little picture up of their annual, Christmas annual that they used to get. And it was Twinkle. And I said to Mark, oh, God, I remember as a kid, I used to get Twinkle comics every week and a Christmas annual, obviously every Christmas. And you didn't know what I was talking about, did you?
No. When you say annual, I'm imagining like the Bruins or the Beano, the Dandy. So it's something like that.
Like that, yes. Yes. It is. But the comic that came out every week, I used to get that from Mum, Dad used to buy me that. And there was like a cardboard doll. So you get your doll and the doll was called Twinkle. And then there'd be like paper clothes. There'd be like a different outfit every week. And when you cut the outfit out, you got that. They had those little paper tabs on that you bent backwards and then you basically dress the cardboard doll. Yeah.
Tab into slot B. So you've got these paper cut out clothes.
Yeah.
You attach it to a paper cut out doll.
Yes. I think she was card though. And you bent the bottom off of her so it stood up. So she stood up.
Oh, right, okay. I'm sort of following what you're on about here. So it's quite complicated. And that's what the whole magazine was about, was it? Just these paper cutouts?
Yeah, they had different... So obviously Twinkle was doing things every day. It was like following her adventures. And then I think part of it was something called a Dolly's Hospital as well. So there was all the dollies that had like the head that was pulled off or they'd lost an arm, something like that. And then Twinkle would go in, Nurse Twinkle would go in and they'd fix the dollies for you.
Yeah, and I know what you say. When you mentioned hospital, a certain theme tune popped into my head, dear listener. It's a theme tune we're not allowed to play anymore.
Oh, not Casualty.
To do with hospitals. Yeah. They might have the Casualty one.
Casualty. But yeah, I used to love, and I just wondered, and I just like text a few of my friends, and they've never heard of Twinkle. So I'm just wondering, have I imagined Twinkle?
Down at the Dolly Hospital.
Yeah, down at the Dolly Hospital.
This wasn't the original hospital thing I was going to go with. I was going to go one with involving cute, fluffy animals.
Oh.
That we're not allowed to go near anymore.
Right, okay.
So we'll have to go for Casualty instead. Yes. So I'm imagining your dolly is getting into a scenario, it's getting into a problem.
Yes.
But it's one that you can see from hours ahead of time. You know what's going to happen. It's telegraphed very hard.
Yeah, well, they've already come in with the arm hanging off or something.
I don't know.
I'd have to replace an arm or an eye out, something like that. But I just wondered if anybody else remembered Twinkle. And then it brings you back to stuff as a kid. Fuzzy felts as well. Did you ever have a fuzzy felt?
Fuzzy felts? Oh, I never had them personally, but they're the sort of thing that we had at school.
And
they were pretty rubbish from what I remember. It was you had the 2D scene made out of felt and you'd have to make it out of little shapes and things like that. Except because it was the school ones, they were all torn up and they were all in pieces.
Oh, I like the fairy tale one. The witch, the prince, the princess, the castle.
I didn't even know they had themes. We just had random shapes that you were piling up on top of each other.
Oh, you missed out then. They got that. They got farmyard ones, circus.
Tune in next week, dear listener, when we go back over our over our childhood. We touch on Granny's Garden next time. Talking about Twinkle.
Yes.
Vicky Fairweather's also been searching. I remember Twinkle. I had so many annuals too in the 90s.
And Cheryl Warren remembers Fuzzy Felt because she had one.
Oh, yeah.
But Ellie's tried to Google Twinkle because she'd never heard of it after hearing me talk about it. So good, you know.
As you do.
And all she can find is the nursery rhyme, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star.
I'm going to be honest with you. When you first mentioned it, that's exactly where my way ended as well. We touched on the topic of Twinkle.
We did, yeah.
And yet another person has been touched, this time Pond Life 21. I assume that's their full legal name.
Yeah.
I'm sure that, you know, when they go get married, they'll be called Pond Life 21 as well. Certificate, things like that. Saying that they remember it as well. So obviously very popular, this thing, wasn't it?
She was. This is a great doll.
Indeed. And in case you didn't notice, this year is a leap year, dear listener. Mm. Did you do anything special for the leap day this week?
I was at work.
Yeah, personally, I didn't do much either. But I also think it should be like the clock changes, right? You get an extra hour in bed.
Yeah.
When the clocks go back, don't you?
Yes.
So when you get the extra day, you should have an extra day in bed, shouldn't
you? Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. We need to make that law. It's also apparently the day that women propose to men.
Yeah.
Which is a bit old-fashioned, isn't it? Admittedly, it's a bit more romantic than something like a TV dinner, you know, for a proposal. You know, you're sitting there with your ding meal watching, I don't know, Antiques Roadshow or something like that. It's like, all right, love, you want to get married? I guess having a woman propose to you would be better than that. Yeah, I can't say that.
Over but the fish fingers.
But surely, that's not the promo got it. The promo got it is surely a woman could propose any day of the year, any day.
Yeah.
Why should it be restricted to one day every 4 years?
I don't know, no, I see what you mean.
Yeah, we should be fighting for women's rights and all that sort of thing. It's also celebrated in New Zealand. What do you think they did there?
Go on. I don't know.
Go on.
What did they do in New Zealand?
What did they do in New Zealand? Well, it turns out somebody screwed up the software.
Oh.
Yeah, it wasn't me, dear listener. It usually is me, but it wasn't me, right? Somebody screwed up the software, right? Which meant that you couldn't pay for any petrol.
Petrol?
Couldn't pay for any petrol.
Oh.
And who says romance is dead? I'm still surprised that Twinkle is such a popular wee topic today.
I wish I had one now.
You wish, what, a episode, well, I was about to say episode, you don't get an episode of a
an episode of Twinkle.
I don't think it was a TV show, no, an edition of Twinkle, that's the word I'm looking for.
It was hard keeping all her outfits in pristine condition as well, because you know, because they're only paper, they used to get crinkled and walked on by the cat and all that sort of stuff. It's quite stressful trying to keep her wardrobe.
Well, I guess you can't iron paper, can you?
No, that's the thing. Well, you spill a bit of Ribena on it, you know.
Well, on the topic, Maureen Stott has been in touch saying, Twinkle Comics found this for you, Jenny. And oh, she sent a picture from the UK Comics Wiki.
Yes.
It's got a Twinkle with the picture paper, especially for little girls. It says a Merry Christmas on it as well, so I'm assuming it's Christmas edition.
Yes, yes.
It says, Twinkle, the picture paper, especially for little girls, was a popular British comic published by DC Thompson from 1968 to 1999. 1612 issues.
Wow, and I haven't got any left now. They've all gone. I don't even know where.
Yeah, it was the same people as the Beano and the Dandy and all
that.
It was DC Thompson, isn't it? It was aimed at young girls and came out weekly, supplemented each year with a summer special and a hardcore annual.
A hardcore annual, yeah.
Which is not like whistles and oots, 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 oots type hardcore. We're talking like it's got just a hardback cover.
Do you think if you managed to get hold of a copy now, the clothes would have already been cut out?
Oh, probably. Or there'll be one weirdo that didn't actually use the magazine properly. And it'll be in pristine condition.
I bet that's worth a bob or two now, do you think?
Probably. And in case you have not noticed, dear listener, it is an election year this year. Mm. And Rishi Sunak actually teased us this week. He messed around with us, right?
Did he?
He said, I'm going to do an emergency announcement outside number 10.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And everyone's like, oh my God, is he finally going to do it?
Is he?
No, it was a lot of words about nothing. So, come on, man, grow a pair. Announce the election already. Get on with it. But anyway, you will hear all sorts of promises in the build-up from all sorts of people. But no one will be dealing with the unimportant issues. There'll be a lot of people dealing with the important issues, and that's what elections are all about. But there will be nobody dealing with the unimportant issues in our life.
Bring Twinkle back.
Bring Twinkle.
You arrange that.
And we're going to add that to the People's Manifesto.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we want to change that. We want to bring the
power to the people!
As part of something we call... And this week we are reading that apparently divorces are down to about the same level they were in the 1970s.
Oh.
I don't read anything into the fact I was finding out about divorces. I've not been Googling silly for divorces. It's just one of these things that came up in conversation on the internet. Somebody said, oh, actually, divorce rate's quite low nowadays. But I want the numbers to go even further down. It's not low enough.
Mm.
I'm not saying we should have zero divorces, because sometimes it just doesn't work out. Mm. It should still be possible to divorce. But we should be making sure that people are the right coupling before they get together.
Yeah.
And whatever combination they choose, we want to make sure it's a good pairing before we get there to help get number of divorces down. Because there's a lot of paperwork, effort and money to get married. And then there's a lot of paperwork, effort and money to get unmarried.
Yeah.
So let's just don't do it in the first place if you're not the right matching. So... the way to do this is to really test a marriage before it starts. Any ideas on that one?
To see if you get purchased some nice cake from like Costa or McDonald's, something like that.
So you're just looking for the romance element.
Yes, yeah.
Romance is always going to be there. I've got an even better test than that. I think before any marriage happens, you have to do a certified version of the IKEA test.
Oh, no.
So it's many other tests rolled into one. There's the getting lost test, because nobody gets from A to B in IKEA without getting lost at some point, right?
Even though the arrows are there, you're still following the wrong way around. Or if you're like me, you lose the arrows completely.
It is practice for when you eventually get in a car together and go somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And you're going to be in the middle of nowhere. You don't want to be in the middle of nowhere.
No.
Because one of you will get left behind. You don't want that to happen. So you want to do it in IKEA, where it's a safe space.
Yeah.
You try it out and see what happens when you get lost. The other one, difference in taste.
Yeah.
So there will be something that one of you really, really likes, and one of you really doesn't like.
Yeah.
And there'll be an unholy fight over it. Although that's just reminded me. So somebody posted a link to a house listing the other day.
Mm.
You know, when they post them on the websites to say, I'm selling a house.
Yeah.
And all I can say about this house is it looked like they raided TK Maxx before they took the pictures. It was just full of all these blingy things, live, laugh, love, all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And you probably already imagine the garden before I describe it. Not an iota of nature in it at all.
Right.
So some people enjoy that sort of thing.
Mm.
If I saw that, would go, oh my God, what is going on here?
Yeah.
So you want to get through that test in a safe space, like in IKEA. And also, if we're talking about IKEA, what's with the fake TVs and things like that they have? You know, the plastic.
Yeah.
They don't do big, deep back ones anymore, but they have all these plastic knockoff brand like computers and tellies and things like that.
Yeah.
I never got to put them in IKEA. But that is my manifesto pledge. So if you happen to elect the People's Manifesto, I'm not sure how we're going to do it because we're not going to stand any candidates. But if you manage to elect us, one of our pledges would be that before any marriage is permitted, there has to be a signed, authenticated version of the IKEA test completed.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to marry until you can pass the IKEA test. That sound fair?
Yes, sounds fair.
And if you have an unimportant thing that you'd like a policy on in the People's Manifesto, do get in touch, dear listener. We want to hear from you. I don't think we've ever professed to being total experts and totally knowing what's going on with the world and all those sort of things. So we have had a couple of corrections come in. It's expected. Mm. We are going to get things wrong.
I love the interactions.
You do love the interactions. So who's been in touch?
Daisy. Daisy's been in touch twice. I love it. I really love
dun,
it.
Dun, dun.
She was mentioning the petrol price glitch was limited to a couple of petrol stations.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So it wasn't the whole of New Zealand that were celebrating.
No.
It was just a couple of petrol stations. I stand corrected.
Come
but somebody
mark.
Was celebrating.
Somebody was celebrating. And we're back to Twinkle.
All right.
I'm loving Twinkle. Daisy's also said that now she assumes, she's sure that me and you, Mark, are much younger than Daisy.
Oh, I wouldn't jump
sure.
to that conclusion.
No,
we'll find
either.
Out.
So in Daisy's day, paper dolls came with Woman's Weekly magazine.
All right.
Mm, and she thinks she may have one or two of them in her dressmaking ideas folder. But you know, the designs of the day are still worn today, especially by Princess Charlotte.
Oh.
I love seeing Princess Charlotte and Kate.
You love seeing them.
I like seeing what... I mean, Kate's so elegant and beautiful, isn't she? And Charlotte's so cute. I just love seeing what they're wearing. And
it's Kate and Wills, and they got married around, what was it, 2010, 2011,
something like that. Yeah.
The reason I know that is I helped cover that wedding for a bunch of radio stations. I wasn't on the air. I was running around like a headless chicken looking after technology. And ended up at a street party in Bond Street area, very posh part of London. It was very how the other half live.
Yeah.
Because we're like, all right, we need to borrow somebody's Wi-Fi. So we go chapping on doors going, can I borrow your Wi-Fi? And this woman pops her head out and says, yeah, sure. She comes down the front door, lets us in. Door opens to this like marble staircase and gold up the sides and things like that. So there you go. I haven't seen anything like that before. I haven't even seen anything like that since. Talking about other corrections, we made a suggestion that if you're going to get married, you've got to do the IKEA test.
Yes.
Help get that divorce rate down even further. And Pond Life 21 has said it's probably the divorce rate's probably lower now to start with because couples are living together and not marrying.
Mm,
I have noticed that.
That's true.
I know people who have gone, you know what? Don't do marriage. Just stay together as a couple and then you won't be in the statistics.
Yeah.
I don't mean there's a driver for it. You just won't be in the statistics.
Yeah.
And also Hank Sance has been in touch saying, hello, wee natters, how are you doing? I think we're doing all right.
Yeah, we're all right.
We're making mistakes, but we're doing all right. It was my housework weekend at the cabin and I'm now ready for Easter.
Wow.
I haven't even thought about Easter yet.
I have. See, I've brought four eggs.
Four, well, like, actually, like, hard-boiled eggs that you're going to paint eggs, and roll down a hill. Oh, you're talking about chocolate eggs.
Chocolate eggs.
Chocolate
eggs. Four for a tenner.
Yeah, he was also saying, in Norway, they have established a course now for young married people to be a parent, and it is very interesting.
Oh, wow.
So you go to parenting school.
Yeah.
The rest of us just learn the hard way, and it's a very hard lesson. I wrote a wee quiz a little while ago.
You did?
It was about a decade ago. It's a very old quiz. But we never used a question for it. There's about 100 questions in the pile. And we're going to use it as a chance to really test your brain cells out, dear listener.
Yeah.
The problem is that some of the questions are a little outdated nowadays. But I'm sure we could deal
with that.
That's all right. I'm sure we could get over it. But this question I've got for you this week is not outdated.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in the good-to-use pile. Although now I've already had a sneak peek at next week's one and it is outdated.
Oh, you're going to change it then? Or
no, I'm going to ask it as it is and you're going to have to answer as if it was 10 years ago. But anyway, our little question today, see if you can figure it out. What is the first invention to have gone faster than the sound barrier?
Oh.
I'm getting a very puzzled look from across the room, dear listener.
I need help.
Not a clue from Jenny. Do you have a clue? So we are on Bo Radio. We were asking our little question. What was the first invention to have gone faster than the sound barrier? A few of you have been in touch.
But me and Stephen guessed the same. We both guessed Concorde.
There are many planes that have gone faster than the sound barrier before Concorde.
And Cheryl Warner, we've got a couple here. So Dave said, that's Cheryl's partner.
Yeah.
Bell X minus one aeroplane. Have I said that right?
The Bell X one. Henk has been in touch saying 75 years ago on October 14th, 1947, the Bell X one, glamorous Glennis, piloted by US Air Force Captain Charles E. Chuck Yeager, became the first aeroplane to fly faster than the speed of sound, Mach 1. The experimental purpose-built aircraft reached 1,127 kilometres, or 700 mile an hour, or Mach 1.06. Concorde went to twice that speed. But
I've got some more.
You've got more. Is it the X1 as well?
Well, Cheryl says I'm guessing Bullwhip.
Bullwhip?
Bullwhip.
Well, the X1 is wrong. The Bullwhip. You're spot on there.
I got Ellie as well.
Yes.
I got Ellie says Chuck Yeager. My sister's cat was named after him. Not sure what plane.
No, we're thinking about airplanes because that's exactly where my mind went first. But apparently that whip crack,
that little crack
is breaking the speed of sound. That's where the noise comes from.
Ah.
Breaking the sound barrier, it's that little crack. Even if it doesn't hit anything, you'll still get that crack because it is breaking the speed of sound. And whips have been around for thousands of years, so they win as being the first invention to get there.
I'm thinking of Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris is something very different. Chuck Norris did not break the speed of sound, but he broke a few other things. There's something. I don't know how I feel about it, right? So imagine the scene. You're in a multi-million pound high street shop.
Yeah.
You're ready to pay for your goods by card. You put your card in the card machine, and it pops up a question asking if you want to donate the pennies to charity.
Well, that's a tricky one, isn't it?
How do you feel about that one when they ask you that question?
I just kind of cover my hand on the machine and quickly press the red button.
The no button.
Shh, I wasn't going to give that away.
The reason I don't know how I feel about this is because I know charities struggle, especially nowadays. They're really struggling to get money, really struggling to stay afloat. But it feels like, you know, when somebody's on your at your doorstep trying to flog a charity. It feels a bit like that. And my default answer when somebody's at my door flogging me something, doesn't matter what it is to get lost.
Like, yeah,
it could be charity. Yeah. It could even be the milkman. We have a milkman that's been running around trying to sell a service. My response to him is, well, we have like a pint a week. It'll cost you more to deliver it than you'll make out of us. But a pint is pint. But with the checkouts, why is a company wanting to give me money that they can then claim that they raised for charity?
I don't know.
It's a bit weird. Because if they raised it themselves and they paid it out of their own profits, fine. They can have all the glory for it.
Yeah.
But if I'm the one that's paying for it because I'm giving them the pennies for it, then surely I'm the one that should be getting credit, not the company. The company shouldn't be getting credit for that. They didn't do anything. They just asked for the money. They're a middleman. Why should we be celebrating the middleman? I'm paying for marketing. I'd rather be giving directly. Although it could be worse. It could be, if you go to the supermarket, even nowadays, you still get those vouchers for school sports kids things, don't you?
Do you still get them?
Well, you do, because I got offered one at the supermarket. I'm like, I don't have a kid. Where am I going to put this? With somebody else. Although I remember when it wasn't sports and it was computers for schools. That was the big thing.
I remember that.
Although, depressingly, some of those computers are probably still in those schools today. It's depressing when you think about it like that. The Verve's Bittersweet Symphony, which just makes me want to wander in the street, bashing into people, shoulder bashing them out of the way. And following that was Snow Patrol, You Could Be Happy. So we know that's our Umbo Radio, and that's a song that reminds Jenny of something. What's that something, Jenny?
Gavin and Stacey.
What, the TV show?
The TV show, yes.
Before we all thought James Corden was... fun to be around. I think that's a charitable way to put it.
He's
sort of become a different character after Gavin and Stacey, hasn't he?
Yeah. Well, I don't actually know about that side of it. I really know him as Smithy in Gavin and Stacey. And the reason I brought that up, the reason we played Snow Patrol, because Snow Patrol was part of Gavin and Stacey, but the reason I brought it up is apparently Gavin and Stacey is now 17 years old. The TV show is 17 years old.
Oh, jeez. Try not to think about the turn of the millennium was 20, almost 25 years ago now.
You need to watch it. But I need a third... We're all begging for them to write a third Christmas special, because the last Christmas special, I think that was about 4 or 5 years ago, and that's when Ness went down on one knee and proposed to Smithy. And it ended. We don't know what Smithy would have said.
Dun, dun, dun.
We just need James and Ruth to write another series, another episode. We need to find out, what are they going to have a happy ending or what?
You make it sound like some sort of soap opera or something like that. Well, you're on proper tenterhooks, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely.
The worrying bit is they will probably do another one, and I will have to endure it, dear listener.
He says there is, she denies it.
Oh, only way to find out. I hate to bring bad news to anyone, dear listener. I'd rather be giving you good news, but unfortunately, it has to come to an end. We did ask for more hours, and they went, no, 2 hours is more than enough. People have suffered. We can't allow any more than that. So unfortunately, I'm going to have to say that's it for a wee nats this week. We will be back next week.
We will.
Assuming they haven't booted us out. We'll find out.
I hope not.
I don't think they will.
Unless they change the locks.
I wouldn't put it past.